Welcome back to another episode of the number one sports podcast in the Southeast Michigan region. It's Teeing It Up with C and V. I'm your host, Connor, as always with the V himself. Vladdy, what's going on, man? A nice early in the week spring episode for us.
Not much. We've got the warm weather finally. We teed off our golf season on Friday. I actually thought we had some pretty good golf to play as well, once you kind of exclude the first couple holes of kind of remembering who you are and kind of getting rid of the little Parkinson's problems. But we don't need to go shot by shot. So just the golf season's up and running, the weather's nice. I don't have to take my winter coat into work. So I'm doing very, very good. How are you?
Yeah, typical. Just like once you get that good weather, my mood just starts to incrementally get better on a day-to-day basis. It's funny how that works. It makes me wonder why I live here, like, and planning to stay to live here for the foreseeable future. Like, when there are warmer choices that would probably make my mood better. But I do think part of what makes it better, and we've talked about this definitely on air before, is the fact that it gets better and it's not like this all the time. So we treat this with a little more specialty, is the word I'm looking for, I guess.
Best summer in the world. We don't have to deal with natural disasters. We don't have any of that bullshit. There's much worse places you can be than Michigan. So but I do understand your pain.
So getting into today's episode, we're going to go over kind of the weekend of playoffs that were in the NBA and NHL, a bunch of game ones for you. Maybe briefly talk about some games tonight. I know the Pistons are playing right before we're recording here in about 45 minutes. Then we're going to go through the first round of the NFL draft that starts Thursday and runs through Saturday in Green Bay. And we'll give you our picks and predictions, what we kind of have done the give a little blurb on each pick, go through a position, usually pick out a position together and a guy together, and then you guys can criticize us for how bad we are at the end of it. So let's get into it. Do you want to talk about hockey or NBA first?
Let's go hockey. Screw it.
Yeah, hockey. I don't like have a ton of blurbs. For what was, I think the NHL kind of screwed up. I liked what the NBA did, if they kind of had days of Saturday and Sunday of games from 1 p.m. to midnight type thing. And the NHL kind of missed that, and I thought could have taken advantage of it. Only had two games on Saturday and three games on Sunday, and then now on a Monday night there's four games. A 7:30, and then 9:30 and 10 o'clock starts. So that was my beyond the casual criticism of how the NHL structured their first weekend of playoffs. And with that said, I don't have a lot of other notes because the favorite won in every single game. And there were some close games, particularly the first game, which is where I'll start, St. Louis and Winnipeg. Winnipeg wins 5-3. They come from behind 3-2 against St. Louis. Jordan Binnington. You know him from the 2019 Cup run from the Blues, and most recently the Four Nations Championship with Team Canada was very good in this game. This is going to be a good series. Two good goaltenders, and the Jets came back and won that at home. The Avalanche and the Stars, that was a blowout, 5-1. The Avalanche looked like they're all world players, did what they're all world players do. Miro Heiskanen, I mentioned that being kind of the difference maker in this series. It does look like he is going to return in this series and play. So expect that not to be the be all end all, putting up a stinker in game one. To Sunday, Carolina beat who I think is probably the worst team in the playoffs in the New Jersey Devils 4-1. Couldn't let the Devils get one on Easter. That's God looking down on us. Don't have much notes there. Toronto, the Battle of Ontario, Toronto versus Ottawa, 6-2. And Toronto looked hungry. Obviously, I mentioned this is Ontario's kind of first time with this younger group in the playoffs. And Toronto has kind of been the serial of chokers for the last 4 to 5 seasons now, with their kind of core four that's paid a ridiculous amount of money in terms of hockey standards. And their core four produced. Auston Matthews had 2 points. Mitch Marner had 3 points. Willie Nylander had 2 goals. Tavares had 2 points. So All those dogs look hungry. This is a great matchup for them, and they're going to go as far as they can get goaltending, I think. And then finally, Vegas beat the Wild 4-2. I mentioned I don't really see the Wild without their best player, who's been out since Christmas, making much of a run here. I didn't, full disclosure, this game started at 10 o'clock. I didn't watch a second of it, and they made quick work of them in game one. So that's the NHL. I'll move over to the NBA.
Similar to what you say, it's hard to draw storylines from one game just because it is a, there are 7-game series and you can go through a slump and not be out, unlike a March Madness or something else where you or baseball where you have a 3 or a 5-game series and you blink twice and suddenly you're gone. So I guess I'll say teams like Cleveland, Boston, OKC, I think are going to kind of cruise in the first round there. I think they're just flat out better than their opponents. I think the rest of the series, you actually do have a little bit of intrigue. On a side note, if you lose a playoff game by 50 points, it should count as
Jesus.
it should count as 2, maybe even 3 playoff losses. That Grizzlies performance was despicable. I don't care how good your opponent is record-wise or how talented and deep they are, you can't not try. That's what that was for Memphis. And then the last thing I wanted to say that I should have mentioned last week in the lead up to the playoffs that I mentioned when we kind of brought the NBA and the NHL back into the fold about a month ago is the West is so congested where you look at the Warriors and the Rockets and you think, oh, it's a 2-7 matchup. One of these should be extremely favored. They were separated by 4 regular season victories. So that was something where I didn't do a good job of kind of laying that out when I had previously done so the first time we brought it up. So speaking of the 2-7 in the West, why not start with it? The Warriors and the Rockets. And to me, this is kind of like my guilty pleasure. Watching Steph Curry play basketball is some of the most enjoyable things that you can do as like a sports fan, just with the ridiculous stuff he does in these fadeaway 3-pointers and stepping into no just shots from 35 feet and all of them find the bottom of the net. It's written, we've said it, it's actually turned basketball for the worse because then you watch other people, whether it be kids, college kids, or other players in the NBA who think they're Steph Curry, but they're not. And then it kind of ruins a little bit of the product. But when it works, it is that enjoyable. Hot take, he's a top 5 all-time player, but we can save that for another time.
Yeah, he's definitely getting there.
I mean, the actual game, they jumped early on Houston, and then they kind of let a 20-point lead evaporate down to 4, and then the experience kind of showed up with Draymond, with Curry, Jimmy Butler's got playoff experience, albeit with other teams. And they kind of took that kind of maybe not comfortable, but that commanding lead again, where they could afford to go a couple possessions without baskets and still hold the lead over Houston. One game one on the road. I think if, I forgot if I said this when we talked about the trade deadlines. Jimmy Butler is like the perfect player for this team. He's just that dude to go along with Draymond. If you want a synonym for dude, asshole is a good term. those are guys that probably not going to be the greatest of friends with if they're your teammates, but they're really good teammates to have. He's a great defender. He's a guy who can play ISO ball and allow Steph some on-court rest where he just goes and hides in the corner on offensive possessions. So that was interesting to see. And I guess the last thing is Steph's defense in that game specifically, it was great. It wasn't good. It wasn't even average. And it certainly wasn't kind of the bad to below average that we used to kind of attack Steph for over the years. He was great. Hands were everywhere. And so they steal home court. We'll see what happens, but the Rockets just look like a team that don't have the guy. They've got an Amen Thompson. They have a Jalen Green. They have a Jabari Smith Jr. Alperen Sengun is there. They're super deep, but there's not a top end, top tier, top 10 basketball player that you need to win titles with. Whether that's going to get them killed against the Warriors or whether it gets them killed later in the kind of the playoffs, I just don't think that this is a team that can kind of elevate themselves to the level they need to win an NBA championship. Moving on, Lakers Timberwolves in the West. Lakers kind of get embarrassed in game one. I think the Wolves had a great game plan for on the defensive side to kind of limit Austin Reaves, and they kind of said, look, like LeBron and Luke are going to get theirs and they're going to take turns getting theirs. There's not much you can do about that. But if you keep Reaves quiet, you're going to put that much more onus and responsibility on the other two, where the depth then is going to show, and that's kind of what Minnesota's able to do. And then obviously just shooting 50% from deep, 21 of 42, that's a great way to win some basketball games as
Yep.
well. I do think the Lakers are going to need to kind of wake up, and they've already talked about it. You see the rumor, or the not even rumors, you just see JJ Redick talking about it. We did not take this kind of the lead up seriously enough. We should have scrimmaged more. We should have been more prepared more in a game ready sense. And we'll see what that talk turns into. But the Timberwolves in great position, steal home court. I was looking down at because I already mentioned OKC. I kind of forgot Denver and the Clippers, who might have actually played the best game one there
Yeah.
was going into overtime. It's kind of hard. I watched most of this. It's so kind of backed up into my mind. And then you had the Pistons game after, and then you had the
Right.
Warriors, where it's kind of fallen through in my mind. I'll just say Russell Westbrook has kind of found a role for himself in that fourth quarter. He is still a wild card. I mean, you watch him
Yeah.
make these just incredible plays, hustle plays, tipping out rebounds, grabbing rebounds, stealing things, and hitting some crazy shots. And then you turn around and you also see him do this just mind-numbing, what is going on here? What is in your head, Russell, kind of plays. So it was entertaining to see that go back and forth. I think Jokic is Jokic. I think that the Denver shit show is the Denver shit show, and I guess we'll see who can win a game on the road. I think it's going to be that simple. Clippers gave it a good shot, couldn't get it done. And yeah, to the East, obviously Boston and Cleveland, there's not as much for me to say there just because I think, again, those two teams are better than their opponents. The Pacers and the Bucks, the game one was lopsided. Giannis looked helpless. And it was kind of entertaining watching him at the free throw line as the entire stadium is counting to 10, which is your free throw kind of clock of when you have to let it go. And he was awful from the free throw line. I don't know if the shooting was, or if the counting was getting in his head, and or if it's just the fact that he can't shoot, but that was bad. And Damian Lillard is coming back in either game two or three, which is insane because I've never seen anybody recover from blood clots that quickly. You look at Chris Bosh was forced to retire because of blood clots. Asar Thompson with the Pistons had to miss almost a year with blood clots. You've got all the other players. I think Wembanyama got shut down with something like that. And it's just, you look around and this guy in the span of 3 weeks went from, oh, he's out with blood clots, he's out indefinitely. And you're like, oh, well, his season's done. And then before the playoffs even started, like, yeah, we think he's already off the medication. We're going to ramp him up for basketball activity and he'll be ready sooner rather than later. So getting Dame back will be massive for the Bucks because, again, if they don't have him, you're going to have to take the better team. The Pacers have this great movement offense. I saw a stat that was like they had about 150 more passes in their game than any other team had in theirs. So a lot of ball movement, kind of that San Antonio Spurs of old of get the ball, throw it to somebody else, cut, and see if you can find some easy baskets, whether it be with a layup or some kind of jump shot when space opens up. And then the last and most important one, least for us, Pistons and Knicks.
The
I thought,
collapse.
what?
It said the
Yeah.
collapse.
Yeah. I thought both teams came out with an idea to stop the Stars. That's why you saw Brunson and Cade struggle in the first half. Karl-Anthony Towns struggled in the first half. And that's why it turned out to be Tobias Harris versus OG Anunoby. I don't think that was on anyone's bingo card, but you got it. I'll give credit to the Pistons in the first half. Every single time you thought the Knicks might pull away, they'd open up that 6-8 point lead. Pistons would respond with some 10-2, 10-0 run themselves and say, no, we're not going to get blown out. We're going to be here. They managed to take that 9 point lead in the fourth quarter. And you say, oh my God, these guys are in control. They're going to steal home court. And then the inexperience showed. You were struggling to inbound the ball. I think the one thing that I've kind of listened to friends critique Cade for, and I didn't always, maybe not fully disbelieve it, but I didn't fully understand it, where Cade in fourth quarters is very, very loose with the ball. Before, I used to blame it on the fact that, oh, well, he's got no spacing, so people just double him. Well, you have a little bit more help now, and he was still struggling to inbound it, losing it when he didn't need to. So they did that. They still had open shots during that 21-0 collapse, and they couldn't hit them. So that was unfortunate. There's a little bit of experience there. Isaiah Stewart getting hurt, that was awful. And if he can't come back, we're going to be in very, very big trouble, because he is kind of a type of player that you need in this type of series against a physical in your face Knicks team. You need another physical in your face big, because Jalen Duren is good, but Jalen Duren cannot shoot. And as soon as Jalen Duren gets two or three fouls, he has to go sit. And who are you bringing on to the court after that? So I haven't seen anything about the beef stew injury, so I'm hoping that's good news in the sense that he's not missing any time. But I guess we'll see in an hour when they tip off. I guess the last thing I want to talk about with experience was Ausar Thompson picking up two fouls in the span of basically 30 seconds. One of them was the game plan, I understand, was to make Jalen Brunson uncomfortable, and he was picking him up 80 feet from the basket with a full court press. But you picking up a foul and then turning around and getting a charge drawn against you within two or three possessions, it's a very bad look. Ausar had to go sit and kind of change a little bit of what the Pistons wanted to do. So obviously we're not indicting anyone for this, but it's a little unfortunate because that was absolutely an opportunity for the Pistons to steal a game. They didn't take it, and I don't really see the game plan working out as well as it did. And I think the Knicks actually might be able to handle us tonight. Hopefully I'm wrong, but we'll see. And I guess maybe last thing, credit to the veterans. They did what they're supposed to do. Tobias Harris, Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, they were incredible. And if that's kind of what we're going to get from them in each of the games, I think the Pistons will absolutely have a shot.
Love it.
That's the NBA. Let's get to the King, the NFL. We've got the NFL mock draft. We're going to go through the first round. I think before we even start that, I was going to say, I think this is one of the more unique draft classes slash drafts I've seen in the lead up to the draft and kind of with draft order in my kind of 4 or 5 years of like truly, truly following prospects and everything. There are so many picks, especially at the top of the draft, where you say, well, they could do this or they could do that. And then on the third option, there's a maybe they should be doing this. And I think primarily you and I talked about this morning. I think that's just due to a lack of top end prospects at positions that matter. Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick. And last year, he probably could have been quarterback six or quarterback seven in the draft. And he knew it. That's why he stayed in school. He bet on himself and he won big. And then you look around after Abdul Carter, there's not really a second great defensive end prospect. I know it's a very deep class, but deep at above average to good is not great. It's not Kayvon and Aiden Hutchinson and then a Trayvon Walker jump. You don't really have a Joe Alter, a Penei Sewell offensive line prospect, even though it is a deep offensive line class. It's really, again, we talked about this. It's the running backs and the tight ends where you truly have studs, difference makers, and depth. It's just a problem that those positions are probably some of the least important on a football field.
To add into what you said, the Cam Ward thing is what I read in the last couple of days is he is the same grade as what Bo Nix was graded, and Bo Nix went 15th overall and was the fifth quarterback taken. So that like you said, there that's your reference point there. And I something I heard on a podcast today was there's usually anywhere from 8 to 15 guys that you would project as true difference makers right away. And this year they think there's only probably anywhere from 4 to 6.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if this is what you're talking about. Like, I know the way the NFL calls it's like they're like quote unquote first round grade. And obviously, there's 32 first round picks. You're gonna have 32 first round picks, but that doesn't always mean that the league views those players as that. And I think we're probably looking at the same thing just under a different title. So this is a very interesting draft. I think, like I said, there's so many ways that this could start as early as pick two, just based on what these teams need. And so with that, do we get into it?
Let's do it.
At
First
10,
overall pick.
Cam Ward, not
Cam
much to
Ward,
say there.
you are a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah. I actually think that maybe we give Cam Ward a little bit of too much. I'm not slack, but I think that he has the physical abilities to kind of move around and do a little bit of playmaking on his own, where maybe you have some other types of quarterbacks like a I don't want to throw our guy under the bus, but like a Jared Goff who needs everything going for him to be quote unquote perfect. So I don't think it's a bad pick, but it's just in any other year, Cam Ward's not a number one pick.
He's got a big arm and he seems like a good kid, in that, like, it's a guy you want running your franchise from a personality perspective. But, and I say this year after year, and I got proven wrong with Bo Nix. I've been proven wrong before, but I don't love guys. And like you said, there's a great example of other it working the other way, but I don't love guys that weren't the immediate option to go to the draft or are 24, 25, 23, whatever you want to say, late 20s, sorry, almost to your mid 20s, and you were still in college football and you weren't that first option, and you really only have that one season of being dominant. I know Cam Ward, I'd argue at two, probably his last year at Washington State, you could put him in that category. But yeah, that's why I'm still like, I think he is probably what Bo Nix was coming in as a prospect, and Bo Nix worked out, so, or has so far.
Number two, the Cleveland Browns. And this is where the draft starts because they should take a quarterback, but there's no quarterback worth taking. And that means you have
Go
to move
ahead.
on to the next one. Whereas,
I actually think from everything I've read on who they are taking, I actually don't agree with player.
yeah, I mean, I've seen Travis Hunter thrown around.
Same. Pretty much everything I've read says talent, Travis
I
Hunter.
agree with you in the sense that he does not play positions as important as an edge rusher. However, and this
You have
is
Myles
where
Garrett.
I will, well, I mean, you need two edge rushers, but what I
True.
was going to say is I think Travis Hunter, they threw the kind of the unicorn thing out. If you're going to get a guy who's allowed to play full time both ways, maybe just maybe full time both ways at two positions is better than full time at one. And I can understand why they might make this move, but you're right. If I would also be taking Abdul Carter here, but I can see why they think the way they do. You look at the playmakers there; it's really Jerry Jeudy and a bunch of question marks. David Njoku's not getting any younger, and is David Njoku really that great? I don't think so. Cedric Tillman flashed for 3 weeks last year, but who doesn't flash when Jameis Winston throws the ball 65 times a game? So on the offensive side, you kind of need a wide receiver. You need a playmaker. You need a weapon. And on the defensive side, you get a corner out on the other side of Denzel Ward. Get yourself a lockdown 1-2. I understand why they make it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad pick. I think you and I agree where maybe it's not what we would do based on our philosophy of building football teams.
So yeah, so who are we taking in this? Are we going off our prediction, or it seems we both agree with Abdul Carter, but we both predict Shador Travis Hunter? Because I think things get really frisky for the Giants
Oh, absolutely.
if Travis Hunter gets taken at or sorry, Abdul Carter gets taken at number two.
I agree.
So for because. I well, I guess this kind of bleeds into number three. I think if Abdul Carter is there, like I think he will be, that will be the pick. That's just what I think, and that's what I would do, to be honest. You can't, and I would go and double dip in that. I think Shador would be around in the middle to even later parts of that round for a trade. That's what I would do if I were the Giants. If Travis Hunter is there, maybe I'm just again having the same theory I did with the Browns and the value of the position that you're taking that high with all that you need. And you just drafted a receiver in the first round last year. I just like don't know how you can take him, but I also don't know how you cannot take him if that's the guy there, if that makes sense.
Let's go Travis at two, Abdul Carter at three. Let's
Okay.
follow a little bit of chalk, and then maybe later down the line we can go our own way, as they say.
Yeah. The Patriots at number four.
I think this is interesting. I mentioned this after free agency. You failed to help Drake May in free
Yep.
agency. You didn't get, I'm sorry, spare me the 31-year-old Stephon Diggs coming off of a torn ACL. You didn't get him help in the
Oh.
wide receiver room. You didn't get him help on the offensive line. So it's got to be one of those two positions. And I think with the wide receiver class this year, I don't think your top end talent is nearly as good as it was last year. I mean, Tet McMillan, maybe it's the classic case of prospect fatigue because he's been so good for so long at the college level that people are now just bored and are trying to find holes in his game. But it seems like he's been greatly cooled off by everyone in the pro game. So do we want to go Will Campbell? Who, again, he's got his own problems, Mr. Short Arms, which.
Yep. There, well, which like wh on which day? Because like, did you see that they measured it? Was it his pro day they measured it, and it was like 32 and 5/8, and then they measured it again at the combine, and it was over 33 inches. It's like, which is it?
Yeah, that's question. I say let's take Will Campbell. And like the only thing I'll say is I like Will
That's what I think it's
Campbell's.
going to be.
I liked Will Campbell's kind of comments where he was like, "I played football for 3 years at LSU. I don't think I gave up a sack, and nobody ever talked about my arm length. And now there's no more football, and you guys create storylines." It wasn't verbatim like that, but I thought
Yeah.
that was a very awesome kind of punchback.
And it's an easily justifiable pick. Like, you have the guy you think is your franchise quarterback. Let's go get a big guy to protect him.
Yep, and like you say, there's wide receiver depth, especially at the back end of the first, top end of the second, so you can always double dip and get a playmaker there. Which
I agree.
the only thing I'll caution though is the New England Patriots do not have a good history of drafting receivers in the back end of the first, front end
No.
of the
No.
second. So we'll see what happens.
Number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars. A position where I think if they do go receiver, as in the Patriots, that is probably where Will Campbell goes for protection for Trevor Lawrence. If not, though, I actually think this is where McMillan goes.
I like it. I think.
Maybe I'm like a lot of pro stuff I've read. I'm somewhat cool on McMillan. I think he's a first rounder in any other year, but not, the 5th to 12th overall pick as I've seen him. But I just think where they're at with a new offensive coach and Trevor Lawrence coming back, hopefully healthy, fully healthy in the next year, you go get him a piece and a tool.
I agree completely. I know Mason Graham is the popular pick, and Mason
Yeah.
Graham's not necessarily a wrong pick, but like you said perfectly, Liam Cohen comes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where they run around with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And yes, the emergence of Brian Thomas Jr. was incredible, and he played like a top
Right.
receiver last year, even after Trevor Lawrence went down. He put up those stats with Mac Jones. You still need a second receiver. Christian Kirk is gone. I don't think you're turning to Parker Washington. Evan Ingram is gone. I don't. Breton Strange is good, but is he the answer? No. So I agree with getting a playmaker for Trevor Lawrence, and I like the Tet McMillan pick.
Number six is the Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, this is Ashton Jeanty Central, right?
Yeah, that's what I see him for. And like, yeah, he's good enough player where you could justify him in a lot of spots in this draft, but like, don't they have so many other needs? Like, just in my head, they have so many needs still.
I think on the defensive side, there are on the defensive line side, they're
They're
okay.
okay.
I
Yeah.
just I think with Jeanty, I think one of those needs obviously is running back. I would never support this as for my own philosophy. Like we talk about, you have to build a winning football team by taking positions that matter early. Like I've said it before, if you're picking in the top six or seven, unless you're talking generational, you should not be taking anything other than quarterback, tackle, or defensive end. But we know Pete Carroll is there. We know Pete Carroll likes to run the football. We know Pete Carroll does not have 10 years of runway ahead of him. He needs to win, and he needs to win now. So could you say they need a quarterback? Maybe. I know you paid Geno, but is Geno a long-term answer? No. We've seen that time and time again. I just think that Jeanty, for the fit on the team, the coach, the timeline, I think he's got to be the player.
Yeah. Oh, I look at it too, and it's like if he doesn't go there, I can't imagine he goes to the Jets.
Nope.
I don't see the Panthers drafting a running back that high.
Nope.
I don't, maybe the Saints.
That would be classic Saints.
Yeah, but like they need so much help there.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, maybe the Bears, maybe.
I think if Ashton Gentry was there, I think Ben Johnson runs to the podium.
Yeah.
But you like you said, that's kind of the other one that makes sense. I with the Carolina thing, you just took Jonathan Brooks high, and unfortunately he tore his ACL a second time in a row. You've got Chuba Hubbard who's playing at a high level. So I don't like you said, I don't think it's there. Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, that's not a spot. So yeah,
Right.
I think if he gets by the Raiders, you've got the Bears just sitting there salivating at the prospect of
Yeah.
getting Genty, and maybe they're even trading up. I know this is not probably a draft where you're going to see a lot of activity just because it seems like it's a very condensed draft talent-wise, and people are going to say, well, why give up picks in a second and a third rounder and future picks to get a guy who's probably the same talent level as someone who I can get 10 picks later? But for Genty, I think if the right team sees an opportunity, I wouldn't be shocked if they make a move.
I agree. To seven, the Jets. Weird spot. I could see them doing a number of different things.
I agree.
Quarterback is definitely a long-term need. I mean, you signed Justin Fields to be the guy this year. But I still think it's early for Shador. So if that's your plan, you're probably trading this pick, I think. The offensive line has been an issue for many years now, which is what I kind of leaned on because I subscribe to the same philosophy as you, is when in doubt, take somebody that's on the line. They need a lot of help on defense after that kind of being their MO for multiple years. I had a lot of trouble with this one because I think there's a number of different things they could do and not necessarily be wrong.
So I'm gonna scratch quarterback off the list, not because I think Justin Fields is an answer, but because I think as a regime, as a head coach, as a general manager, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, especially high, your career is now tied to his. And if he fails, you fail. I don't think Aaron Glenn feels strongly enough about any of these quarterbacks that are gonna be left to say, I am gonna tie my head coaching career to you, Shedeur Smith.
Sure.
So I think the Justin Fields, like you mentioned, they have Fields on this hybrid 2-year deal, but really there's only guaranteed money for 1 year. I think they're going to go out there and say, show me something. If you can't, and we're picking this high again, then we'll take a quarterback and then we'll start our kind of leash, if you will, of when should I get fired. So I don't think quarterback's an option. Offensive line, they have notoriously struggled. And kind of like you said, I think that's kind of the move. I like this Armand Membu guy who seems like he has a little bit of versatility, can play inside, outside.
Yeah.
And
That's the, I mean, that's the second lineman I saw and everything. So,
yep.
number eight, or yeah, number eight, the Carolina Panthers.
So th
A lot of spots. I'll let you go first.
I was going to say, I think this has to be defense. I understand you want to continue investing in Bryce Young, and I understand that Matthew Golden has been the greatest rise since Trayvon Walker 3 years ago, where no football was played, and this guy went from like a round three pick to people are calling him wide receiver one, which I don't get. But I think this has to be defense. I think if you're Carolina, you can find help for Bryce Young in a different way. You were the worst defense in football last year, and one of the ways to get better at that is by taking great players. And I think if Mason Graham is sitting here, I think you have to take him.
Yeah, I was between one of the two. I agree with Mason Graham overall. Much more better position or value position than the Will Johnson I had in my head as well, one of the Michigan players. So yeah, I like that. Number nine, the New Orleans Saints, is they're just such a fucking mess. And I like you, Derek Carr is not the answer, but you're not going to draft the quarterback right now.
You know what's funny though? You might, because Derek Carr might not play at all this season. Have you seen this?
No.
So he's got some crazy injury where he might not play at all.
Oh,
And in
I
that
was not
case,
aware of this.
yeah, in that case, you're not sending out Spencer Rattler for an entire season. That's like
Yeah.
that's openly tanking. The NFL frowns upon that. You have to at least pretend like you're trying. So This is where I think Shador could open up. This is where I think we've said this with the Saints for probably the last 2 years. This is a team that needs to hit the reset button. This is a team that needs to begin to let these old guys out of there, get out of the cap hell that seems to have been looming for so long. And I think this is just a classic case of take the best player available. Who that is at this point, I don't really know
I think you're
because,
in your drop-off phase.
yeah, I mean, you've got the, what's to say, the two Georgia edge rushers, Jalen Walker and Mykel Williams. Those guys are kind of on a similar Matthew Golden train where I don't know where they came from, but I see people consistently taking them in the top 10. I see Carolina's always mocked to one of them. I can go many different ways, so maybe I turn it over to you. Who do we think is the best player available, and let's just take him and run.
I guess you would want to go value with the like a D line guy, but I also had circled the Jihad. Did you say Jihad Campbell?
I did not.
No, that's another name I've seen thrown out very high.
That'd be
Maybe
see,
not
that's
this
interesting
high.
as an off-ball linebacker, but
That's what I mean value pick
yep.
wise. I think going with one of the tackle or defensive tackles you named just would be better.
All right, do we throw Jalen Walker up there and call it?
Jalen Walker,
Win.
you are a New Orleans Saint.
I don't know if he's happy or sad about that. The Chicago Bears, and this is a team that completely revamped the interior part of their offensive line. I think with Braxton Jones, they have a tackle. Maybe they. Is it Braxton Jones, or am I thinking of someone else? I'm thinking of Darnell Wright. Oh Lord, I'm in my own head right now. But tackle is, I think, is on the board here. Obviously, if Ashton Gentry's here, I think they run to the podium. And considering that neither of those guys are there, I've seen Tyler Warren thrown around here, though I don't know if I love that fit. And if not at that point, I think it just goes to best available defensive player.
Yeah, I think it's also, but like that's an Tyler Warren's an interesting Ben Johnson piece, but like here, I like all they've done with the O line, along with all the pieces they kind of got for Caleb over the last year and a half on offense. I would be very surprised if this is an offensive pick again, even though you're taking a new or have a new regime that's supposed to be offensive minded with Caleb Williams. So I also like kind of the best available defensive player on the board. Who do you have here?
I'm gonna go with an edge rusher. Maybe I'm overplaying how far the defense fell from after they acquired Montez Sweat in 2023 to what it was this past year, but I think maybe they need a little bit of fresh blood there. So, you know what? Give me the other Georgia kid. Let's just get Mykel Williams off the board and let's move on.
Okay. 11th, the San Francisco 49ers. Weird to see them here after the season they had, but there's starting to be more and more holes to fill on this roster.
Yeah, I was just gonna say this screams best available.
I think the way they're at with all the injuries last year, they can still feel that they can compete in that NFC West, and I think they should feel that way. And you're at a spot where you're like, wow, we haven't picked this high in forever. We obviously aren't going to be somebody that needs Genty. We still feel we have the pieces despite losing Debo. To maybe if McMillan were still there, you'd consider that. But I agree, it's probably best available. I think we still have McMillan on the sheet.
I thought we took McMillan.
We had him going to Jacksonville. Sorry, you're right.
You want to throw our boy Will Johnson up there?
Yeah, okay. I have Will Johnson. He just feels like he was destined to be a cowboy in my brain, so I was saving him for one pick later.
Do you let's find someone else then. Where are we going?
Mike Green, this edge from Marshall. I've
I'm
seen
in.
him in this 11 to 17 range in a lot of stuff I've read.
I'm in. Get someone else opposite Nick Bosa and continue murdering people. Probably not a bad plan.
12, the Cowboys. I guess I just gave away what I was thinking. Maybe it doesn't make a ton of sense. You already have a couple of corners. Will Johnson as a person forgetting to play or just choosing not to play Seems like he'd fit in well as a cowboy. This team was a mess last year, like before and after Dak got hurt. Dak's not going anywhere. They're healthy. They have pieces. They have Ferguson. They have CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, you could get a, you're not going to get a running back at 12. I assume this is probably going to be a defensive pick in my mind, to be honest.
I'm down to go with Will Johnson. I'm just going to throw another thing out there. They have no receivers outside of CeeDee Lamb, not a
True.
one. I think Jonathan Mingo is currently their wide receiver too, and I'm not exaggerating unless I'm just completely
Maybe
mistaken.
I'm very low on this wide receivers though. With
Yep.
no one gone, I think this is still way. I don't see a single guy in any of the teams
Oh,
that's worthy of this pick, is
I'm
the problem.
absolutely with you. I'm throwing out maybe a more of a realistic take where they're going to feel if we want to get back to the Dallas Cowboys that won a lot of regular season games but choked a lot of playoff games, we need the sexy, the flashy, and the point scorers. So I can
They
see that.
will. They, yeah, they are going
Let's
to.
go Will Johnson, though. I like that.
The Miami Dolphins at 13.
I think the Miami Dolphins at 13 are very sad that Will Johnson just left on our draft board because there are talks that Jalen Ramsey is on the move and that his career is done in Miami. And that would be a perfect kind of maybe not plug and play, but that'd be a perfect replacement for him. Sadly, he's not there. There's Jahdae Barron from Texas. There's obviously, as we always say with this Miami team, you need an offensive line because your quarterback is one hit away from retirement. So where do we want to go with this?
I had offensive line. It was the easy, lazy. You need to help too as much as possible. I had either the kid, the Armon Membu. I think we already took him.
Yep, we did.
And then the next name I had was the Texas kid. Where's his name?
Kelvin Banks. I
Yes.
like that. Let's go, Kelvin Banks.
14, the Indianapolis Colts.
Tyler Warren.
I have Colson Loveland higher on my thing.
Oh.
I think this is a we talked about this being a deep and elite tight end class. I think this is a deep tight end class, and I think Loveland and Warren are both worthy of being first rounders. However, I am not high on either of them being elite players in the NFL.
Interesting. Maybe I'm getting blinded by the couple of games of Tyler Warren I watched in the college football playoff, but I
Don't
love
think
that
that,
guy.
and Grant, this is a guy that rooted for Penn State all year. Is I don't think Warren's game translates to the NFL when he's just like not gonna be that freak like guy that can just barrel people over in the NFL.
I could see
And
that.
Colson Loveland like is the opposite. Is like he is that freak athlete. Like looks the part every bit of it. But like I don't know if I saw it. Granted, he had who knows throwing
Tomato
tomatoes.
cans throwing to
Yeah,
him.
but I on a given week you didn't know what you were going to get from him sometimes. So I that's just my hot take of the draft. It's going to be one of those two tight ends. We'll
All right, who are we
go
going with?
Tyler Warren so we don't give Michigan the benefit of the doubt.
I love it. Screw Michigan, even in mock draft central.
The Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, I think they can go a lot of ways with this.
Yeah.
I think receiver is not off the board, but like you say, it seems like the way we view these guys, it's probably a little early. I think offensive line, it's always an option. Big people are good. Big people never go out of style, but I do think this needs to be defensive. I think that's kind of where the Falcons post-COVID have really lacked is the ability to actually stop somebody, and that's kind of highlighted by four straight picks in the top eight. All taken on skill position. So
Yep.
I think you got to reverse that trend. And where do we want to go with this? Do we think this is too early for off ball Jihad Campbell linebacker? Do we want to go with some edge rushers?
Yeah, edge rusher.
All right. Do we want to have locker room cancer James Pierce? Or are we going with the Boston College kid who nobody's ever seen play? Or do you want to go
The
further down
Boston
the list?
College kid. You've seen him play.
I have seen him play. I've watched my quarterback throw the ball to the wrong team three times while Donovan Ezuriaku's on the field.
Well, guess what? name you just said, you're an Atlanta Falcon. They're going to find a way to take some stupid skilled player here.
I
Like
wouldn't be
they
shocked.
love, we talked about flashy stuff for the Cowboys. The Falcons just love to do dumb stuff. And
They
this is
really
like a
do.
little too late in the draft for them to do something really crazy, but
Yeah.
look for some fireworks. Arizona at 16.
I think you can go a couple of ways. As always, the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray are a finesse team that you can push around. They got a little bit of that run first identity back this past season. So maybe they feel like they're good enough on the line, but at the same time, you're never short of big people. I can go both ways here.
I like O-line personally.
All right. Where are we going with the offensive line?
Josh Simmons.
Josh
I
Simmons
think
is
he is
super
slept on.
interesting. So he was in contention to be the first tackle taken, gets hurt. I think it was a torn ACL and loses his senior season at Ohio State. From what I've heard, there's been no red flags in the recovery. And so I completely agree that I think Josh Simmons is awesome. I love this pick for them.
A guy that started that many years at like the best football school in the country is just, it's the opposite of my take with quarterbacks who are old and don't get their chance and are only good for 1 year. Is this guy has proven it for multiple years. I don't care. Like, I feel like a guy with that much experience can come off one of these injuries and perform.
Next, we
17,
have the
the
Cincinnati
Bengals.
Bengals. This has to be defense. Has to be defense. And I kind of look at, I think, edge rusher. You don't know how much longer Trey Hendrickson's going to be there because money's tight after paying two receivers with a cheap franchise. So I look at, again, is it locker room cancer, James Pierce, or alleged locker room cancer? I'll be fair to the guy. Is it Nick Scourton? Is it Shamar Stewart? Where do we want to go with this?
I feel like they let's go Scourton. I feel like they have some cancers in there already that they deal with. They drafted Trey Burton, who was a mess last year, that they just won't. Dead unlucky 2 years in a row. 18, Seattle Seahawks.
This seems like maybe best available defensive player.
I mean, I was thinking about like you have a new quarterback, maybe you go and protect him, but it seems like that's not an immediate issue for them. They moved on from DK, but like I don't see that being a receiver spot. You might be able to justify one of the receivers at this point. But like a Golden doesn't seem that different of a player than Jackson Smith and Jigba, to be honest. So
I mean, they also have Cooper Kupp. I mean, not exactly
yeah, I
the
forgot
flashy
about
name
that.
he
Okay,
was
sorry. My bad.
3 or even 4 years ago, but Cooper Kupp is there. So I'm with you. I don't think receiver is the most pressing need on planet Earth. As always, you can go with a big guy. I just don't know what big guys are left that maybe warrant this type of selection at 18 now that you've kind of lost Josh Simmons as well. I think there's a little bit of a drop off after. Do we want to go
I
with?
want to go one of the linebackers, I think.
You want to take Jihad Campbell?
Yeah.
I like it. Guy who flies around the field, well worth kind of this high of a pick from a position that's not exactly
Right.
coveted by
I have
many.
another name that I love watching. For this next pick, that is also not necessarily the highest value position for that's Tampa at 19, and I want to take Malachi Starks.
I like it.
I really love his game. Again, doesn't play the most super value position. I've seen him in the 20s for almost everything I've seen, but I think the first spot where I don't see them having any immediate needs on offense. That this is a spot where you go best available and you get a guy that I think is going to actually be a good pro.
I love that. I was honestly hoping that Jihad Campbell would be there for them. I think to get a guy who can begin to replace Lavonte David, but obviously he's gone, and so I like the Malachi Starks as backup to number 20. I don't think I've seen a mock draft not have Amarian Hampton linked right here to the Denver Broncos, giving Sean Payton his little X Factor running back, giving him his Alvin Kamara, if you will. Do we want to follow the chalk and just take him, or do we want to try and get creative?
No, I think that's what they're going to do. If I would say something, I think Travion Henderson was going to be a better player than him, though.
Hey, Travion Henderson's he's my boy. I loved watching him at Ohio State. He's kind of I agree with you. I think the home run speed, I think the pass catching ability, and the only thing I think that's a problem for Henderson, and again, this is a problem, is
Usage.
I would say usage and durability.
Yeah.
He already missed an entire season pretty much when he was asked to be the only running back at Ohio State with this kind of magical hamstring that just never fixed itself.
Yeah.
So I understand the concerns, but you can fix that by getting a secondary piece and letting your guy kind of shine. But yeah, give me Amari Hampton here.
And we know you liked watching him play because you're a Buckeyes fan.
There it is. Yeah. No, that's just they make some good fantasy players. What can I say? The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, are the first team that can potentially consider quarterback.
I kind of like forgot that we forgot about Shador at this point because I
Yeah.
could see him going earlier and someone trading him up for like before this.
Absolutely. Obviously, it's a quarterback driven league, and we'll probably end up being wrong here. But I think the Steelers could absolutely consider it. I think we're probably not going to do trades in this, but I do think that there's going to be a lot of teams, like you said, the Browns and the Giants specifically, trading into the back end of the first to take quarterbacks just because they can get that fifth year option. I would be okay with taking a Shadur here. I also would be okay with taking a Walter Nolan. This defensive line is aging, and aging might be an understatement. Larry Ogunjobi is gone. TJ Watt has been playing for what seems to be forever. And on the other side, Cameron Hayward is somehow even older than TJ Watt. So I think you need to infuse this team with talent on the defensive side. You've spent back-to-back first-round picks on tackles. Now I think you need to flip that and spend it on defensive big guys. So I'm thinking either Walter Nolan or Kenneth Grant.
Kenneth Grant.
All right. Michigan's third top 21 pick.
Yep. And more to come at 22 because I have Colson Loveland being a Charger and following Jim Harbaugh. I went basic. I heard something that like there's a relationship there, obviously, as he played for him. And it's something they need, albeit not very valuable. I feel like a Harbaugh team is smart enough to not do that in the first round, but I went chalk in my mind and went for the basic thing to do.
I don't mind it. I like Colston at 22. The Packers at 23. I think this probably needs to be a corner. I think Jaire Alexander has kind of maybe not worn out his welcome, but has kind of shown his age. He's not the guy he was 3 years ago. He's not the guy he was 4 years ago. I also think that again, there's always cracks with Jaire Alexander. He's either hurt, or there's rumors he's going to get traded, or there's rumors something's going wrong. So I think you begin to prepare for life without him. And give me Jahdae Barron from Texas.
Yep. The Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Yeah, what? What? What am I reading? Sorry, I was not scrolled down enough. Who's the 21st
Vikings.
pick? There we go. The Vikings. What do you
So
think about the Vikings?
I think there's a couple of options here. I think you strongly consider a Walter Nolan or a Derek Harmon at this point. I think if you have I don't think offensive lineman is kind of a need for them.
No, yeah,
I
I
think
agree.
they've spent there and they've drafted well there. So I think it's either defensive line or I think safety as well. They need to prepare for the post Harrison Smith era. So I would say I'd be okay with going best available safety or best available kind of defensive lineman.
I like defensive linemen. When in doubt, go with the more value.
Do we want to go Derek
Walter
Harmon?
Nolan. Walter Nolan.
All right, Walter Nolan, I like it. See, you hate Michigan State, guys, because you're a Michigan fan.
Yeah.
Offensive line.
What?
Offensive line for the Texans.
Yeah, I don't
That's
think that's
not even, I don't think it's
any
up for debate.
question. Yeah. If they
So
don't do that, it's borderline malpractice.
yeah, I mean, or the only thing, and I can't believe I'm gonna even try to justify this. I think receiver can be a question because you want to get your quarterback more toys. Tank Dell, he's not gonna be playing this
Yeah.
season, that gruesome injury. Diggs is gone. You bring in Christian Kirk, but does Christian Kirk really move needles at this point in his career? Or did he ever move needles at any point in his career? I'm not certain. So
Yeah.
I could see wide receiver to kind of go with a Nico Collins. I'm
Yeah, I
talking myself into wide receiver right now because Nico Collins can play on the outside. You get a Luther Burden or an Emeka Egbuka in the middle to play your slot. But as you say, we like big people. Big people make the world go round, so we got to take the best offensive lineman.
Which is at this point.
So there's a kid from North Dakota State, Gray Zabel, who's listed as a tackle, but everything I've seen kind of throws him as this just kind of swing guard, and he can play pretty much either guard. And I think they've said he can kind of also fill in at center if needed. I don't think that's a bad idea. There's Josh Connerly. The other one that I think is very interesting is Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. He was supposed to be a guard, but then once Josh Simmons tore his ACL, they threw him out to left tackle, and he kept playing like they never missed a beat. So
Right.
Donovan Jackson's actually a guy that if he's there at 28 for the Lions, that is somebody I'm running to the podium for. I would love that pick. What do we think?
Kind of fell in love with your North Dakota State kid.
Let's do it. Gray
Yeah.
Zabel.
Good name too.
Nothing like going from North Dakota to Texas to play some football. The Rams, I think this kind of like the Steelers, the Rams are a team that I could say if Sean McVay is committed to going through another quarterback's kind of life cycle and doesn't want to just retire and go do TV for more money than he's probably getting paid right now, I think this can quietly be a quarterback spot just because
Wow.
Stafford, you don't know how long he's going to play. There were rumors this year before it got shut down. They didn't really give him some long-term, oh, we love you, come finish your career here extension. I think it's a potential. I don't know if I would go out there and say let's do it, but I think it's something that's worth noting.
I think we should do it because we haven't picked him yet, and
Okay.
he's definitely going to go in the first round somewhere, despite my that I don't not sure he should, and I don't see any of these last
Sure.
five teams taking six teams taking a
So
quarterback.
Jackson Dart.
So Jackson Dart, you are in Los Angeles. No, Shador.
Shedeur Sanders, yep. I respect it. Like you said, maybe it's, and you know what? Maybe it's not even LA. We know they hate making first round picks, so maybe the
Yeah.
Giants say, we'll trade with you, drop back eight spots, grab another mid-round pick, which you guys hit at a Hall of Fame rate, and get yourself another starter. So I do like the Shedeur pick there. To
Yeah.
Baltimore.
Don't
Baltimore seems like a place that could take James Pierce. They seem like a culture. They seem like a locker room with
Okay.
veterans that need youth on the defensive side and have the system in place to take on a guy who might be viewed as quote unquote troubled.
I like it.
I like James Pierce here.
Okay, I like it. The Lions.
Donovan Jackson or Tyler Booker. It's gotta be an offensive lineman or a big guy.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement that it has to be somebody with a big body. I almost prefer where we're at to see O-line. Because I the top of that edge rusher class is going to be bad to where you can get the where the state of the offensive line right now is still a top offensive line, but as those guys kind of are older and there's more and more holes over the next couple of years, you can get a guy that doesn't have to be the guy tomorrow at 28. You can get a guy that you think can be the guy the day after tomorrow. And that's why I kind of lean at the spot they're at with somebody on the offensive line. I don't know where you're at with that.
I'm completely with you, and I actually will take it a step because, like, I don't think we're necessarily perfectly set this year. Kevin Zeitler's gone. You don't have a right guard. Frank Ragnow has openly talked about retirement after his
Forever.
contract. He openly talks about how hurt he plays. Taylor Decker showed signs of slowing down last season. He's now a year older. Graham Glasgow's also on the other side of 30. So I'm kind of with. I think this has to be offensive line. Do we want to take a Tyler Booker, guy who can kind of play swing guard, gives us a starting right guard, can push out to left guard if needed at some point in his career?
Yeah, and he went to Alabama.
Oh, that's true.
Big school.
That's big for us. We do
Big
like our
school.
Alabama
We
players.
love Alabama.
That
Call us
was
the
sick.
Detroit Crimson Tide.
Washington, I think, is a spot where they're going to start
Defense.
loading up on toys for their
Oh.
quarterback. Do we want to take a receiver? I think we all
Yeah.
have to.
Yeah, they're I you're right. They're either going they have a couple of quite a few holes defensively that I think
Yes.
they could be filling with this, but I also agree, like weapons wise, how many more days does Zach Ertz have? It already felt like this was kind of their second wind, and they don't really have a ton besides Terry McLaurin.
I mean,
So
they brought in Debo, but
yeah, oh yeah, sorry.
how long is Debo going to play? So I think you take a
Golden.
receiver. And the other thing is, the way we've drafted, I don't think Burden, Igbuka, and Golden are all going to be here. So kind of like with the
Yeah, I
Shador
agree.
pick, I think just based on our philosophy took over as we were going through this, and we kind of
Yep.
made some omissions, and I think we have to begin to make up for that. So who's our best available receiver?
Personally, I think it's a
Yes.
Emeka.
Emeka Igbuka.
Yeah, you are a Washington, I almost a capital Washington Commander.
I love that. Another Ohio State guy for me.
The Buffalo Bills.
I mean,
Receiver. They're going to do it again, I think.
I think they might need to.
Yeah.
Just because Keon Coleman did not hit as well as they hoped, and as well as the other guys who got picked around his spot in the draft hit. I think the defense is good. They seem to consistently be revolving. I don't think edge rusher is really a need for them. I think receiver can be in play here, absolutely.
Golden.
Matthew Golden, I like it. Miss everybody's favorite draft riser, Mr. 429.
Yeah, the one I'm looking at, the current mock I have had him at 17.
I mean, I've seen people say that he should go at 12 to the Cowboys, and I'm like, come on, guys, let's take a breath here. The Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs, I think, are in kind of that classic take whatever we think is going to kind of help us best, and they tend to go
Get a
with
tight.
the kind of their random spots of kind of business. I kind of like Derek Harmon at this point. He's still on the board.
Yeah. They're kind of at the point where I don't even like picking for them because it's just like they're gonna pick some gadget they need and it's gonna work out like it always does.
I like it. Yeah, Derek Harmon, Michigan State's finest, left us to go to his rich parents in Eugene, Oregon. But it's okay. The Eagles, I mean, because it's what's his face? Because it's Howie Roseman, you can kind of eliminate a couple of positions right off the start. I mean, Shamar Stewart is here, and they kind of lost a little bit on the defensive line. If you want to take some interior defensive linemen, because they also lost defensive linemen there, I wouldn't put it past them to take a damn offensive lineman, even though they've got four of their five guys signed for the next 4 years. Like, this is, you talk about the people that I'm tired of picking for. I'm tired of picking for the damn Eagles.
Yeah. A thought I had was like kind of that Mike type player is Brandon Graham isn't getting any. Did I mess that up?
Yeah, Mike's a linebacker, but.
Yeah, but like that Brandon Graham position is not he's kind as he kind of phases out, maybe you look for somebody to replace that spot. But yeah, it's you're right, it's another team I don't really care for picking for because they always get it right.
Based on, do we want to just say Shamar Stewart because they love people who tackle your quarterback and just get on with it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All
And they
right.
are good at that.
Shamar Stewart at 32, and our mock draft is complete. Thank you guys for following along. I actually like what we did. Like I said, I think throughout the middle portion of the
Yeah.
draft, I think we let our philosophy take over
Yep,
more than maybe what
definitely.
teams might need. 'Cause like I'm looking at this edge, corner, tackle, tight end, edge, tackle, edge, tackle, lineman, and then right at the end, it's like, oh shit, we have to take skill position players because that's what's sexy and that's what score points.
Yeah, we started to get to guys where, like, with the edge and the O line, where I didn't even really have any more written down. So,
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, Donovan Jackson's still on the board. If someone wants a guy who showed he can do it at both the interior and the exterior of the offensive line, Luther Burden's still
that's from
there.
a surrogate Ohio State fan, so be wary with that.
Luther Burden's still there, even though he's been falling drastically on people's boards, and I don't totally understand it because it seems like the talent is there. But yeah, I actually really like how we did this. I think it'll end up being, I'm gonna take a picture of this just so I can kind of go back and look at this for when we inevitably get 0 of 32 picks right.
Well,
Or I
we'll
guess
get like
we'll get Cam Ward right. You can't get
Cam
that
Ward
one wrong.
right.
But after that, I have no idea. I guess to close this out, because the Detroit Pistons are currently playing and we're still
Yep.
talking, thank you for making it this far. I think this is usually one of my favorite episodes of the year, just going through that mock draft with you. Thank you for listening, and I will leave everyone off with the Go Pistons.
Go Stones.